So Galatians chapter 6, before we get into that study, I have a verse I just thought of that I want to share. 1 Peter 5:8. Can anyone quote it? 1 Peter 5:8? Yeah. Be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're all familiar with that verse, right? The second verse, though, after that one, struck me. So 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That we have an enemy who is seeking to destroy us. But it's not just us as individuals. Verse 9, number one, resist him and be steadfast in the faith. Hold on to the word of God, to the doctrine of the word of God, knowing this, knowing that the same sufferings, the same things that we're experiencing in our lives on a daily basis that wear us down and tire us out, and we think, you know what, I feel all alone. Well, guess what? Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, that the same things you experience on a daily basis, the same things I experience on a daily basis that weigh me down, that's being shared, guys, all across the board to every Christian, to everyone who seeks to live a life led by the Holy Spirit. You're going to be confronted with the enemy. It's a fact. And I guess the study, what the Lord put on my heart was to share with us in Galatians chapter 6, which I'm sure most of you guys know or are familiar with Galatians chapter 6. So with that in mind, let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we're just going to do the first five verses. So it could be short. It might be very long. Let's find out. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load, or each one shall bear his own burden. So initially, there's a couple things that one thing that I want to throw out there for you guys to kind of be thinking of before we get to it. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own burden. Bear one another's burdens, because each one needs to bear their own. Okay, all right, good. So you guys kind of see that there. It's kind of like, wait, what's going on here? You just told us to bear each other's burdens, and now you're telling us we need to bear our own burden. So we'll get to that, but be thinking about that, because I wanna pick your guys' brains. Verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Who is Paul talking to here? Who's he addressing? What? The church. He says specifically, brethren. So we know he's talking to a group of believers. He's talking to a group of Christians. So initially, he's telling us brothers and sisters, Christians, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So he's talking to the church, and he's saying, hey, if there's a brother or a sister, for that matter, in the church that is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. It's our job to confront, but more than that, it's our job to restore, you know, to bring restoration to a situation. Now, obviously, we can't be responsible for how that individual is going to respond, but we have a responsibility to, as Ephesians chapter 4 says, speak the truth in what? Speak the truth in love. And that is so necessary when it comes to confronting someone who has been overtaken in a fault. We need to first speak the truth to them. You know, truth needs to be our message, not just to Christians, but truth needs to be our message to this world, right? The truth is what sets people free. But it's not just the truth alone, it's speaking the truth in love. Those two things have to go together. Kind of like, well, grace and peace. You know, we see that all throughout the New Testament, grace and peace. Why do we see that? You guys know. Why do we see it in that order? You need to experience grace before you can experience true peace. Those things always go together. And then I just started to kind of have a little fun and try to think of all these different things. And I thought of in John chapter 4, when Jesus says, God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and truth. And, you know, we can't just worship God in the spirit and ignore the truth of his word and how we are to approach him. And we can't just worship God in the truth because we would just look like this and praise the Lord. You know, it would be so robotic. It's worshiping him in the spirit and the truth. And it's grace and peace. And it's speaking the truth in love. Those things go together. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So this is where it gets kind of interesting. who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. He's talking to brothers. And then he kind of goes one step further, and he says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual. Well, doesn't that, he's talking to Christians, so doesn't that mean all of them? Does it mean all of them? I guess it should mean all of them, but is that the truth? You know, are all Christians quote unquote spiritual? Well, then I guess we kind of have to determine, well, what does spiritual mean? What is that? Because you can ask the world, okay, what is the definition of spiritual? Oh boy, you know, you're going to get all kinds of crazy answers. Well, biblically, what is the definition of a spiritual person? It's kind of like, I guess I found myself thinking of like humility and, you know, how to be truly humble. You know, if you acknowledge that you're humble, did you just kind of burn that bridge down? Being humble isn't something you say. It's something that people know about you because it's the things that you do, right? And spiritually speaking, I think it's the same thing. You're not spiritual because you say you're spiritual. You're spiritual because of the things you do. And I guess we need to determine, okay, what are the things that we do as Christians that make us true spiritual Christians? Because if you are a Christian, is your spirit alive? Do you have the Spirit of God living in you? You do. According to Romans chapter 8, if you do not have the Spirit of God, then you don't belong to Christ. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. So when we get saved, God's Spirit indwells us, and he lives inside of us. So then we're good to go, right? That's all we need to do. We're saved, so perfect. Well, that's when the battle begins. See, we've been talking about this at youth group a lot. God created Adam. How did God create Adam? Caleb, give it to me. Body, soul, and spirit. And in the order that God created Adam was spiritual. Spirit, soul, and body. Adam was designed to live life led by his spirit. That is how he had that fellowship with the Lord. And God told Adam, do not eat of this tree. Why? For the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, did Adam die instantly? I mean, he lived to like 900 years old. But wait a second. What do you think happened when he ate of that tree? His spirit died. Adam's spirit became dead. And so God created man, spirit, soul, and body. God created animals. How did God create animals? Soul and body. What are angels? Spirit and soul. So we have spirit and soul, angels, they don't have a body. We have animals, body and soul, they don't have spirits. And then we have humans, designed, made in God's image, spirit, soul, and body, designed to function perfectly in perfect fellowship with the Lord. Adam sinned. His spirit died. He was kicked out of the garden. When we get saved, God's spirit now comes back into us. Except here's the thing. We've been so long without God's spirit living in us that now all of a sudden our body still thinks it's going to call the shots. And so we can be quote unquote Christian and be saved and have the spirit of God living in us, but our flesh is constantly leading our life and determining what we do. Because I strongly believe that we are saved simply by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And as soon as we do that, Christ comes into our life and we're saved. But I think too many Christians are content with just that. And they're not considered spiritual. They have God's spirit in them, but they're not being led by the spirit. So now we're talking, okay, what makes a person spiritual is someone who is led by their spirit. Because you can be saved but led around by your flesh. And that's not what God has intended for us. That's not what God had in mind for Adam. He wanted to have true fellowship with Adam. So to be spiritual, we need to be led by the spirit. And how can we tell an apple tree is an apple tree? The fruit. And if you look back in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, Paul kind of gives us some indications of someone who is walking in the Spirit and things to look for. But first, he starts out by listing fruits of the flesh. You know, if you're not sure if you're living a life led by the Spirit or if you're living a life led by the flesh, well, let's take a look, because he's going to list some fruits to look for. He says in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. How many of you guys have experienced this? You know, they don't like each other. Our flesh wants to do one thing, our spirit wants to do another. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And here's what the works of the flesh are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So those are the fruits of the Spirit. So to answer the question, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. I can right now think of people who I would consider spiritual leaders, and I'm sure you guys can too. Is it wrong to think that you're spiritual? I don't think so. I think it's wrong to boast in that and to have this gross pride, which I think we can all have sometimes. But I don't think it's wrong to know that, you know what, you're living right now. You know what, you are on fire, you're praying, you're reading, and you sense this fellowship with the Lord, and you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit. You know, I don't think that's a wrong thing to acknowledge, you know what, I'm close to the Lord. I don't think that is wrong. It certainly can be if you're extremely arrogant about it. But just like we can think of people that are spiritual leaders in our own lives, I think we can be that too. And so if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. It's not to just go to them and, well, you know what, I'm gonna give you a piece of my mind right now. How's this? No, it's restore. Our goal is restoration. Reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul says, Christ reconciled us to God and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're bridge builders. We're in the restoration business. You know, our relationship with Jesus Christ has been restored, and because of that, how much more should we seek to restore our relationship with each other? And it's the spiritual person who can do that in a manner, speak the truth in love to an individual, so that the end result, at least if it's received, can be restoration. And that needs to be our goal when confronting someone in sin. And it's in a spirit of gentleness. You know, you don't want to come down extremely harsh, and obviously situations are different. And I will say this, restoration of a situation does not mean no consequences, okay? There's consequences to our sin, and our sin needs to be dealt with. And yes, you can be forgiven by the Lord, and just like you've never sinned, justified, but that doesn't mean our justice system here is not going to have consequences for you. You know, that's just the name of the game. But certainly you can be forgiven. In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I think it's interesting that Paul slides this in there at the end. Because who is supposed to be confronting these types of people? People like that are overtaken in a fault. Who is? Spiritual. And then he says, but wait a second, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because what does 1 Corinthians 10:12 say? Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. And so Paul's encouragement is, okay, you're spiritual, good. Restore this brother in a spirit of gentleness, but be careful. Because when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Then he says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, bearing one another's burdens. And he adds to that, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Jesus said the law can be summed up in one commandment, and what is that? He says this kind of a tricky question. He says at first, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, the second is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So you, the whole law, that is the law of Christ, because in keeping that, you will keep the whole law. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, how do we bear one another's burdens? And what burdens do we help bear? Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what burdens do we need to help each other bear is the question. This is what I was like, you know, going over and searching the scriptures. And, you know, let's just start real obvious. On Tuesday night, we do youth group here, and I get here around 5:30. And sometimes Brian's truck will be parked outside this door, and he's unloading, you know, he just did a Sam's Club run. and he's bringing in tons of boxes and things like that. Okay, bear one another's burdens. Well, okay, Brian's unloading the truck. Yeah, he could probably use a hand. All right, I'm going to help him out. You know, and I help him with those physical things. You know, it's easier on him. I can help bear that burden with him. Spiritually, though, it's not, well, seemingly it's not that easy. You know, how can I help bear someone's burden spiritually? Does anything come to mind? What would be a good way to help bear someone's burden spiritually? Huh? Praying for them. And how many times do we think, yeah, well, that's just too easy. It's probably not even doing anything, you know, or we just don't think it's really being effective. But that is the number one scenario. That's the number one thing that I discovered through looking into God's word. That's how we bear each other's burdens spiritually, guys, is to pray for one another, to pray for people that are going through things. They don't even have to know you're praying for them. You know that? I mean, it can be an encouragement to know that you're being prayed for, but that's not how it has to work. You know, hey, just to let you know, I'm praying for you. That's such an encouragement, and I love getting text messages because it's encouraging to me to know that people are praying for me. But we can bear one another's burdens just by praying. We see that Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians 1:19, Paul, he's in prison, he's chained, and he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Paul was in prison by himself. No one else was there. But he was writing a letter, and in his letter he says here, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit in Jesus Christ." Paul was experiencing a burden. That was something that was weighing on him. He's in prison. He's chained, okay? And he knew he was going to experience deliverance through their prayer. So they were bearing this load with him because they could pray for him. And I think if we really knew what was happening in each other's lives, because just like we read in the beginning, you know, we have an adversary, we have an enemy who's seeking to destroy us. But it's not just us, it's each other. And the same things that I experience, you know, alone, and the things that you guys might not be aware of, are also things that you guys are experiencing too. And the importance to bear each other's burdens, because I think it's so easy to think, I'm alone in this. And to do this thing right, guys, we are one, to confront sin in a hope of restoration in each other's lives. Two, bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's huge. Temptation is a burden. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, we are going to experience some pressure when temptation is present. And the way of escape isn't, oh, well, I'm never going to be tempted. No, the way of escape is bearing it. It's getting under it. To bear means to take up, to get under something. You know, again, physically, if you're thinking of someone lifting weights or something like that, a spotter is present. And, you know, to get under the bar with them and help them lift is the idea of bearing something. And so in temptation, there are things that we have to bear. We don't have to bear them alone. We can have accountability. We can have people, hey, man, Nick, I'm struggling right now in this area. Can you help bear this with me? He certainly can't do everything for me, but he can bear it with me, and he can hold me accountable. And we all need that. And I challenge you, if you don't have someone like that, you need to find someone. This is how God wants it to be, this type of fellowship that we would have with each other. Persecutions. Hebrews 13, verse 3. I believe it's Paul who wrote Hebrews, so I'm just going to say Paul. Paul says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are also in the body." So Paul's telling them, remember those who are in chains as if you are chained with them. And is Paul just saying, just have a good thought about them once in a while? No. He wants us to pray for those people that are undergoing persecution. Because again, how do we bear spiritual burdens for each other? It's through prayer. And last but not least, Brian shared this Sunday, Mark chapter 14, Jesus in the garden, about to bear the biggest burden that anyone has ever bore. He became sin for us. And what did he ask of his disciples? What did he want them to do? Watch and pray. I think that's a telltale sign of what we should do for each other with our burdens that we have. You know, a burden can be a son or a daughter who is backsliding and is wandering from the Lord. That wears on a parent. That is a burden on a parent. And we can help bear that burden through prayer and coming alongside of them and letting them know, hey man, I'm praying for your son, I'm praying for your daughter. A father who is dying, you know, a wife who has a husband who's this, or a husband who has a wife who's this. There are burdens that we bear, guys, and we're not to do it alone. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. So continuing on through the rest of this, because then he kind of changes and he says, bear your own burden. Verse 3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So Paul's just being blunt here. He's not saying it's wrong to be something. You know, it's not wrong that, I'm picking on Nick tonight, Nick's a business owner. He does concrete, right? That's just a fact. That's a part of who he is. Okay, it's not wrong for him to say that that's what he is and what he does. I do masonry. Okay, I'm a bricklayer. That's what I do. It's not wrong, but it would be wrong if I got in my truck in the morning and I drove to the hospital and I went to a floor to do surgery. Hopefully I wouldn't make it that far, but that would be wrong because I'm not a surgeon. That's not what I do. So it's not wrong to be something. Just make sure you're not deceiving yourself and tricking yourself. "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Well, thanks, Paul, for enlightening us. It's such a blunt statement. It's so true, though. He says in verse 4, "But let each one examine his own work." You want to figure out what you are? Examine your work. Are you spiritual? Don't deceive yourself. But you may be spiritual. But how do you find out? Examine your own work. Look at your life. Are you in that category? Or are you being led around by your flesh? Examine your work. Because I guarantee you, this can kind of go both ways. Sometimes it's really easy to trick people and to fool people. But then sometimes you're the only one who's tricked, you know? Everyone else can see through it. They know what's going on because of the works that your life is producing. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden. So number one, avoid sin. Confront, restore. Number two, bear each other's burdens. Number three, bear your own burden. Okay. So some burdens that we can bear for each other. A son, a daughter, straying from the Lord. Fill in the blank, you know. Those are things that we can bear with each other. So clearly there are things that we can only bear. This word, for each one shall bear his own burden, means to take up, to come under, to take up. Luke 9:23. Jesus says, if any man desires to come after me, let him take up. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's the same word, to take up. That is something that we as individuals have to do on our own. I cannot make you deny yourself. It's something that you have to make that decision. I cannot make you take up the cross and follow Jesus. That is a burden that you have to bear. Now, certainly we can help each other to a degree, but you see, that's something that you specifically have to do. And I believe that that goes along with God's calling on our lives. Paul makes it very clear that he had a specific calling from the Lord. And I believe we can look all through the Bible. I wrote down a bunch of areas. We'll look at some. But where Paul says, I've fulfilled the ministry that the Lord gave me. Where Paul tells Timothy, hey, make sure you fulfill the ministry that God gave you. And I think the Holy Spirit would say to us and to me, Rosaire, make sure you do what God has called you to do. I think of Peter. After Peter was restored, after he denied Jesus, Jesus is by the fire, and Jesus tells Peter, hey, when you get older, someone's going to take you by the hand and lead you where you don't want to go. And it was a reference to Peter's death. And then you guys know, Peter looked at John and said, hey, Lord, what about John? What about him? What plans do you have for him? And what did Jesus say? Peter, what is that to you? You follow me. And so there are very specific things that we have to bear. And for each one of us, it looks different. But no one else can fulfill God's call on your life except for you. And we can certainly bear each other's burdens in some senses, but then there's a strong sense in God's word where, you know what, we have to deny ourselves. Luke 9:23, if any man wants to come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross, and he must follow me. It's very personal. You know, there's not really room for other people to do anything. Acts 20, Colossians 4:17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Jesus in Mark chapter 14 in the garden when he's praying, he says, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me, he said. That was something that only Jesus could do. You guys remember when Jesus was carrying his cross, I have it written down, Luke 23:26, Simon, Cyrene, I think, they said, you bear his cross. You remember that? Luke 23:26, another man bore Jesus's cross, okay? So in a very real sense, he helped bear that physical burden for Jesus. But could that man die on the cross in place of Jesus? No. That was something only Jesus could do. That only Jesus could become sin for the entire human race. So that was very specific. Jesus had to bear that burden. And the same thing is true of us. So what do we do with that? We help bear each other's burdens. But we have to be familiar with what God has called us to do so that we can be faithful to do what God has called us to do. We have to bear that burden. And again, I don't want to make it sound like you're just 100% alone, because there are things people can do to help you as you do that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you. Nick is the business owner of Lindsay Foundations, okay? He has employees that can help bear that burden. But at the end of the day, it's his fault. It's him. That's just the way it is. A father's role in his family. The mom, the wife, can certainly help, praise the Lord, and help bear the load. But at the end of the day, the father has his role. At the end of the day, the mother has her role. It's singled out. So we can help each other, but there is still the burden that we have to do what we've been called to do. We'll close with Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us lay aside every weight. So we have weights that are unnecessary that we should just get rid of, cast aside. We have burdens that are extremely necessary. Example, if I go on a hike, okay, I can take my backpack, but it can be full of water and food, things that I need, you know. It's a necessary burden. I could strap ankle weights to my feet and go on a hike, but that is not necessary, right? I'm not going to need those weights when I get to the top. I am going to need my water, but yet it is still a burden. Okay, so Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. He doesn't say it's weightless. You know, even animals experience discomfort from a yoke being placed on them, okay? I, the other day, was raking, seemingly easy, pretty simple. But guess what? I got a blister. Okay? You know what? God's plan for us does not mean it's going to be weightless. We need calluses, and we'll experience those when we're obedient to his will. But we need to make sure we cast aside the weights, the unnecessary things, and avoid the sin, and bear each other's burdens, and bear the burden that Christ has given to us. And I think Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. I think we can be not watching. We need to be aware of what's going on in each other's lives. Because right now, in this church specifically, there is a lot going on. And I know the Lord is calling me, and I know the Lord is calling you guys to watch and to pray, to bear each other's burdens. What do you guys think? Make sense? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you for bearing that burden. Lord, that is truly a burden none of us could bear. But you became a man and you lived perfectly so that you could bear that burden. Father, 100% God, 100% man, you allowed others to help you bear certain burdens, and yet you were an example to us, Lord, as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. And Lord, for the joy that is set before us, which is you, Father, may we bear each other's burdens and bear the burden that you have given us. Lord, but to know that we're not alone, that we have brothers and sisters, Lord, that we can depend on and share our needs with and our struggles with so that we can pray for each other. It's so powerful, Lord. I pray that you would continue to work on us, Lord. Make us more like you. Give us those calluses. Help us not to be bugged about those calluses, Lord, when you're doing things we don't understand or when it's uncomfortable, but help us to trust in your will, Lord, that your way is best. Pray that you would continue to unify us as your body. In your holy name we pray, amen.